And hello, everybody. You're live with Patricia Corey. Most of you know me as the author channel of the Syrian Revelations trilogy. And I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Beyond the Matrix. It's a program for people who dare to think outside the box of convention. I intend to take this show way past the boundaries of common belief systems and accepted paradigms of our time. So we're going to be venturing out into the deep space of your mind to bring forward what you already know, deep down inside the well of your subconscious mind and your universal experience. So now I want you to breathe deeply, open your mind and heart to what potential lies beyond your convictions, out of fear, past the ego, and into the power zone. If you like what you hear tonight, and I'm sure you will, please be sure to tell your friends that this is the spot. It's 12 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on www.bbsradio.com, and we'll be transmitting every Sunday. You'll be welcome to call in with questions for my guest or me once I open for questions in about the last 15 minutes of the program. So why don't you jot these numbers down now? If you're in the U.S., you've got a toll-free number, 877-876-5227. And outside the U.S., you'll want to call 530-876-3222. I'll repeat those later on in the program. Okay, I've got Patty Greer with me tonight. She's a fabulous spirit I connected with in Glastonbury just weeks ago when I was there. I was a speaker at the Glastonbury Symposium and guiding my group through the crop circles, as those of you who listened in last week heard. I was already talking about the crop circles then with Ed and Chris Sherwood. Patty has some completely different insights into the crop circle message. Fascinating approach, a delightful spirit, very different than last week. And so here she is. Hiya, Patty. Are you with us?
Hiya, Patty from America. Yes, I am.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix. I'm glad to have you with me tonight.
Oh, thank God. People who speak the language.
You went to Wilshire to explore the crop circles and ended up making a full-blown documentary film about it, or at least you are making it now.
So where do we start? Oh, my God. Well, you know, it started
Tell us what took you to the field this summer, first of all, and then how you got from that to what made you decide to make the film.
Okay, it was a year ago that my daughter and I went on a journey. I called it a spiritual journey, but I couldn't tell her that. And we first went to Glastonbury, and I'd heard about the crop circles, so my deal with her was, I'll take you anywhere else in the world, just humor me with 5 days in Glastonbury in the crop circles. And that's all it took. We stepped into one. It was raining. It was gray, but it was an illumination that was so instantaneous that, for me, I knew that day was an appetizer. I didn't know what was coming, but it set in motion what's happening now clearly for me. So for the whole year...
Was your daughter able to perceive it too?
Well, she seemed to at the time. But I don't want to speak for her anymore. You know, for me, this is my personal journey, which is what's so important, I think, about all of us in the crop circles. And also the acceptance of what it really is for each of us is something that is such an independent allowance and journey that everybody's right. You know, you'll be standing in a crop circle with 10 different people, and all of us really committed to having a feeling, and all 10 of us feel something completely different.
Yeah, what's wonderful about this time in our lives is being able to have experience and not having to justify it or defend it or convince anyone. It's really arrival when you get to that point. I'm sure you'll agree with that in your experience that you've had this summer.
Oh, it would have to be, especially talking about something that is of another dimensional reality. Many people don't want to hear it. And again, that's okay, that's fine. But for me, stepping into the crop circle the first time is all you need to change your mind about it. So this summer
if you really think about it, accepting or wanting to hear about crop circles is such a gigantic leap for anyone's consciousness that for people who are really still in that box,
absolutely,
it's just too monumental to contemplate.
It was the ministers at church that told me about it, that they were leaving, and when they came back, I saw their face, I just looked at them and I said, my God, what did you eat? What did you do? You look so different and I want some. And that's what got me to go last year, was just seeing the change in people that I knew from having one experience. So I went back with more of a hunger this year because I had only been in one crop circle last year. And this year I went for the full summer and pretty much lived in and out of the formations one after another. And it was, I think, one of the richest summers in the history of Wiltshire, I've heard, that there was more crop circles per week. It was phenomenal.
Well, there were many, and they were very complex in their structure and nature. I would like to share with the listeners that you and I kept running into each other and never meeting, because wherever I seemed to be, wherever you seemed to be, was the same place, but we never connected until the last night.
Right, right. Well, once I started on the role of filming the movie, I had been doing digital stills for the entire trip. I think I was up to like 1,200 of my little Canon camera. That's pretty much the basis of my film is my slideshows. Then, of course, it's going to roll into the film footage of the cameraman that I hired, which we did gorgeous footage. But, again, you don't need a fancy camera. It's all so there. I mean, everywhere I drove, I'm pulling over because it's just phenomenal, the beauty of the natural landscape there. And when you fly in the little airplanes or helicopters or whatever you choose to fly over in Wiltshire, I kind of start thinking of what it must be like for these beings that are creating the circles, these orbs of light or whatever it is that, you know, when you fly into England, it looks like, what a landscape, like a canvas, you know. And
well, bear in mind, of course, that we are talking about some of the most sacred earth on the planet. If you are a follower or a student of ancient wisdom, lore, we're talking about the land of Avalon here, so it is remarkable of itself before we even delve into the phenomenon of crop circles.
Right. Well, Paladin Jenkins, who does an interview in the movie, he created a map of the ley lines and the energy vortexes, the ancient ritual sites, and they're all pretty much meeting up in Glastonbury, Avebury, Stonehenge. It's no accident that it's happening in this area because of just that, all the ancient history, ritual, prayer, honoring. You know, this is, I think, more when they were honoring the earth, and that's where it's coming back to now. I mean, I'm really optimistic about 2012, and we're seeing a lot of the glyphs in these crop circles that are talking about the coming of what is coming about. And I'm not one of the analysts that goes and deciphers all the messages. I just keep looking at them one after another, and you can just feel that they're really very peaceful. They're not like
this. I think it's very hard to tell people what a crop circle feels like, and so I do my best to encourage people to get into those crop formations, because the experience of being in one, completely forsaking the discussion of whether they're man-made or not, because that isn't very interesting to me, to be honest with you. I've go there every year. I have these experiences every year. And what I recommend to people is to go into a formation and experience what's there. And
well,
it's life-altering for so many people, as it certainly is for me and for you.
Yes. Well, that's the intention of my film. And because I was willing to roll around with the spiders and the webs and get really dirty, I have the best photos. And it's pretty much, I thought I was bringing it home to my friends and family, what it feels like, because I wanted my close friends to share this. It's just so incredible. And really, that's exactly it. But, you know, again, what I'm going to try and do with this film is to bring you into a crop circle while you're sitting in your chair eating burgers in Oklahoma. You know, if we can bring the message to everybody's home and just give them a moment to, like, take a breath and go, oh, my God, this is really happening. These are really messages from another dimension.
So how do you think you're going to be able to convey that multidimensional quality through the film?
See, to me, there's no question. All I can say is this film is landing in my lap chapter by chapter. People are sending me things by the Internet. I'm getting films of orbs moving through the sky that are, for me, there's no question. You know, I don't waste time doing that because there's enough of that for other people. For me, I'm looking for the really true, beautiful connections. And I sent you, Patricia, the photos of my old home where I know I had a ghost living with me, a spirit. And just today I pulled up the photos of that house, and there's this huge orb of light. I'd never seen it in the photo until today, which says to me, of course, they're everywhere. They always have been.
Yeah, as we talked about this in the first show that I did, how we are, the veils are coming down, the dimensions are, it's really hard to use terminology because it always seems to be, we're stuck with the terminology of layers and levels because we're in 3D, but certainly a common experience to us now is a sense that the veils are coming down, and certainly we are seeing more and more phenomenon, which quite honestly, I hope we move past pretty soon, because the phenomenon is delightful and it's validating, but it's time soon for us to move on phenomenon and get on with the work of being in that higher vibration.
Right.
But of course, to make a film, you've got to be able to convey that phenomenon. So let's get back to what made you end up doing the film, from going there to have your own experience.
I just wanted to finish the thought we were just having, which is that for me, it's not that the veils, which is something kind of a limitation outside myself still, I don't even see veils now. I think for all of us, it's about acceptance, accepting what already is right here, right now in front of us. I don't think it's really anything other than our limiting beliefs, not even letting us see what's right here sitting in my living room probably.
Well, let's call the limited belief the veil.
Indeed. It's so in the past. So for me, I started going into the crop circles this year, and my first one was breathtaking. It was the Hatbox Cottage Formation. It seemed like because I was so committed to getting to the Silent Circle Cafe early and finding out what had shown up last night, I'd get there first thing in the morning. So the circles are only a day old. They're fresh. You really get to experience the lay and the flow of the crop before a lot of people have stepped on the wheat and kind of changed the nature of it. And
and just for people who don't know about it, Silent Circle Cafe is the new, let's say, crappie hangout, which used to be the Barge Inn, and now people are, let's say, migrating to this Silent Circle Cafe, so you want to jot that down if you're going to be in the crops next year. Okay, go ahead.
I think it's the one-stop place, and it's what I whisper to my friends that I really like. You know, we're letting it, of course, go out to the big world. But it is the secret to know about getting into the crop formations. At the Silent Circle Cafe, the owner is real, authentic guy. He really does it for the right reasons. He's not in this ego dance. He really has the experience. He's spent lots of nights in the circle sleeping and waking up to brand-new crop circles right near him. And he's got stories that are, like, hair-raising, and I interviewed him all over the movie. He's just a great guy.
We'll ask him next time you talk to him if he'd like to come on Beyond the Matrix and share some of his stories with my readers, my listeners. Okay.
So, yes. But at the cafe, he keeps this map with red little pinpricks as to where each circle shows up. So it's kind of nice. You've got, like, the beeline of where they are in Wiltshire, but then somebody has to tell you, you got to walk way up the road and hop a fence and go down the tram lines. So, you know, they're still kind of hidden within the farm fields. They're a little tricky to find, so you got to, you know, kind of work your way in to find them. But
And that makes it so much part of the adventure when you're Indiana Jonesing it around the countryside trying to find these passageways to get to the circle. It's really, it's just so fun.
Oh, it's great. And then when you get
and
to
by
the
way, another... sorry for interrupting you. Another place that you can get information about the crop circles is a great bookshop called The Henge at Avebury. It's managed by friends and owned by friends of mine. They're Philippe and Dominique. So if you are in Avebury, you can also get up-to-date information from them.
And I think the other thing that keeps me going in America while I sit here in my little town is the cropcircleconnector.com. That is the site that I go to every time I want to know if there's a new circle. And they tell you all the circles around the world. every day.
It's kind of a guidebook for it. So let's say it again. It's called www.cropcircleconnector.com. You're going to want that, put that on your memory in your computer, because it's a fabulous site and they need your support.
And this is three guys that I would see all the time in the field, and they work hard. I don't know how they get whispered to before anybody else, but they know before anybody does, and they're up in the helicopter or up in the planes and getting photos, and boom, it's on the Internet before you know it. They're really quick at getting the information out. And while you're there in the fields, it's such a great gift, because you get to the cafe in the morning or you open your laptop and you can go straight to it if, you know, somebody can whisper to you how to get in and find it. So when you're driving and you're looking for them, thinking, oh, goody, I'm going to just go see a crop circle. I was with Janet Ostenbaud this year, and she's a researcher who's done this for 13 years now. And she said that years ago, the circle makers had placed the formations along the roadside so they were easy and accessible for people to catch their attention and pull over, and a lot of people could see them. And she said this is the first year where they're far more hidden into the landscape, and she feels that it's more that they're setting the bar a little higher, like if you want this, you got to work for it a little.
I'll drink to that, because there was the one that I never did find. I don't even remember the name of it. It was such a challenge. I can't remember the location of this circle, but while I was there, desperate with a busload of people who were in my group, I finally gave up and called Philippe, actually, at the Henge, and they said, oh, hurry to Sugar Hill. There's a new one just down.
Mm.
So we turned the bus around, and off we went to Sugar Hill, which was just utterly remarkable this year.
Where I saw you as I was leaving, you were coming.
Yeah, that's what we kept missing each other. It was to me.
It was
but it was amazing. And I saw you interviewing so many different people. I'd like to talk about that as well. What was you interviewed Bear Cloud, who many people are familiar with. What was his experience? What were you sharing with him?
Well, we had an interesting experience with Bear Cloud. Now, I had invited pretty much everybody I said anything to said yes. The movie has been the easiest thing to pull off. And I went to the Glastonbury Symposium on crop circles, which was, I don't know, 30, 40 speakers all day, 3 days. And then I just kind of picked out the people I really resonated with for the message that I wanted to get across about the crop circles, which is only the positive nature of the beauty, the message, that they're free, that they're so delicious. And so all those people came, and I put them on the film. And it's more about the feeling and the intuitive joy than the intellect, the geometry, the science. You know, I went at the approach more of the delight of it. So all these people that I invited and Bear Cloud, I didn't really read about them like you. I didn't know who you were, what you've written. I just intuitively know when I saw somebody that was right for the film, and I'd throw out the wire and reel them in, and everybody just flowed in just right. So when it came to the filming day, I had four men, three cameras, 12 hours long day filming. It was great. And we did one place after another. And Bear Cloud showed up at the 2 o'clock meeting with the people that were going in the formation, all the great researchers with these neat stories. And he said to me very clearly, I can't do this. So I had to be really, obviously it was going to be something else with him. And I said, if you can just give us the time to do the formation and interviews, I'll come back and then we'll do your chapter. You just tell me whatever you want it to be. And how amazing. He said, walking distance from here is the sacred tree, which I hadn't even seen or heard about. So I said, great, perfect. So, you know, we thanked all the people that were in the formation, the researchers, off they went. And then it was Bear Cloud's chapter. He takes me up to this sacred beech tree. There's, I think, four of them. Big, huge, shaded grove.
Yeah, I was there also.
he pulls out his drum and starts chanting and singing and doing this beautiful array of Indian sacred music. And then he talks about what the circles are for him is the reminder of the sacred symbols. And basically, all these patterns, all these old ancient symbols are coming back over and over again, just slightly different form. Mm-hmm. And so he brought about the only other American on the film than myself, because it was wonderful being elsewhere. But he brought in the Native American, the spirit energy, the earth love, and it was just a beautiful piece. And we did our interview in all those big fingery roots of the beech tree.
Yeah.
So I look over, and we asked people to please kind of keep it down so that we could do the interview. And this happened to be probably the fourth or fifth place that Patricia Corey and I were in the same place at the same time. She's dying to be in the movie, and I don't know her yet. Right? You kept saying the interviews, going, wait, I want to be in it. No,
I really didn't know what you were up to at that point, so I wasn't dying to be in the movie yet. But I was curious that everywhere I was going, I was running into you and Nick Ashram, who
yes.
is someone I've just met up with, who has a site, who does psychic. I'm not really sure what he does. Psychic.
He's a psychic artist. He does
paintings,
of psychic spirit guides, and he does a reading when he delivers it to you. He also writes beautiful music. And does these? He did some chanting through crystal skulls. That is a soundtrack in the film that is to die for. He's absolutely brilliant. And
well, crystal
the movie,
skulls is a very big subject for me, so
yes.
That is very exciting. It's all very synchronistic, isn't it?
It really is. And all of the music for the film, four different people playing music. One is me, and the other three are people I met in the crop circles. I had no idea that I was meeting these unbelievably alien musician, trance music writers. Their music is
mm-hmm.
phenomenal for the film. And here they've been writing it not knowing why, and it's just been like a puzzle coming together. Really nice.
Yes, it is. I think I talked to you at length about how the Syrian perspective of these symbols being very much cosmic sheet music, and that what we would be picking up from these symbols and these circles has a lot to do with the music of the spheres, the music of the universe, and that will be coming clearer to us as we go along.
Yes.
Very interesting stuff.
Music has a lot to do with the resonance of our system, and you talked about that with your beautiful crystal bowls. We have your opening meditation in the film, thank you for sharing that, that begins with these crystal bowls. And the tone just makes you feel something again that's just different than what you were feeling a second before you heard it. And it's a shifting of
very
the vibration.
Very powerful working with these bowls, the Tibetan bowls mm-hmm. and symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that the planet, the Tibetans really held the planet together with music and sound, according to the Syrian information, they have held the planet together with sound. And that's why when you go into a lot of sacred sites, you can hear them chanting.
Mm.
And when I just brought a group of people into the pyramid a few months ago, and it was about the fourth time that I've been in there with people, and they can hear the Tibetan chant. It's quite amazing.
Well, you also talked about
the chant. But they ride in on sound. They ride into the sacred sites on sound.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the dolphins weave the music of the oceans and hold the frequencies of the oceans.
That's what I was just about to say. You said it, yes. It really is.
So how many formations did you get into this summer? Did you get into all of them?
I couldn't say all, but I'd say probably between 15 and 20, and that's a lot.
And
a few of them
particularly powerful for you?
Yes. The first one that I went in, I think what happened for me that was more life-changing than anything was the shifting of my vision, being able to physically see these moving bits of like a gaseous energy that moves through the sky in these perfect little balls and the different groupings of them and shimmering kind of oil slicks that move through the sky in specific ways. But it was the second circle that I went into where I started seeing these gaseous substances. I mean, I was describing them like a jellyfish look, but I think the luminosities, you know, it's hard to describe it in words, but I knew that I was seeing something very specific because it was moving in a way where it was noticeable. and they became as visible as the mosquitoes. So I found myself really taking time in the circles. For me, Nick and I went wandering. He was the buddy that I went cropping around with, and he would go immediately looking at the bent nodes and how they had expanded from the whatever is making these circles. It's creating this instant, like a microwave heat, that's heating the elements up from the inside of the stem, and the stems are bending and the elbows are expanding, and it's a visible phenomenon that is what many people look for when they go right into the circles to see, is this one real? For me, I walk in, I can feel it 30 feet before I get in. You can feel that it's real. Yeah. And so I think for me, I wasn't all that busy looking at the physicality more than I got in, I just lay right down in the middle and start looking up. And that's
right, so do I. But the thing is that many people don't have that intuition, and so they are looking for some sort of evidence, let's say, that can be measured. And I think just the mere going to the crop circles over and over again, eventually people are able to attune more. But for me, my first experience at crop circle was still mind-blowing. It was before I even got, like you said, 30 feet. I could feel it pulling me in.
Yes.
It was an utterly remarkable experience to have that connection. And I understand a lot of people who want to feel that and don't, so we're really blessed in that way.
Well, and again, that's why you're writing your books. That's why you're having your talk show. You, because you've had the experience and you're still oozing with the reality and the joy of it, you want to share it with people. For me, this
More than wanting to share my experience, I want to help people find theirs.
Well, that's what we're doing then. I mean,
indeed.
My film is so visual, and the music is all people from the circles, and it is so moving. This music is as good as the picture on the land. And then when you realize, I mean, the crop circle formations have been so beyond artful mastery that it's not humanly possible to make most of the ones, certainly the ones that I'm featuring in my film, which I bet I'll have 50 or 75 photos of different ones from the air as well as walking in them from the land, what they look like. And you have to be reminded as you're looking at these aerials that they're not paintings that are absolutely beautiful third-dimensional paintings. They're crop fields like wheat that's been laid down in synchronicity.
Lots of three-dimensional images now coming up, which is very interesting. But I want to go back to what you said. It's not humanly possible, since this is seems to be the subject again this year, and remind people that a lot of these crops, whether or not they're geometrically possible to design by humans, that some of these crops have come down in an hour. If we go back to the Stonehenge formation that Julia set, there are different accounts of exactly how much time that took, but more or less, that crop circle came down somewhere between 3 and 5 p.m. in the afternoon in July, in the most traffic season of crop circle season, tourist season, on a road that goes right by there. And it wasn't there at 3, and it was completely down by 5, and this was seen overhead by a plane. And this formation is 151 circles. So these kinds of phenomenon, I think, more than whether or not people could recreate the geometry, which I agree with you, is just too hard to imagine. But knowing that we're talking about beyond the matrix, anything's possible. But,
yes.
Man, I'd like to know how this could possibly be achieved in an hour or two-hour daylight environment.
Well, this particular year, they had an incident at East Field in West Overton.
I wanted to talk about that.
In Wiltshire, where a gentleman, Winston Keach, went up on the hillside, set up a bunch of cameras. He said that his dog that he walked all the time had been acting funny that day around, and he had this intuitive feeling. And he's been a night watcher for years and years, and he's got all this camera gear and experience.
So he just chose this place to go because he had an intuition that something would happen that night.
Yes, but, I mean, we're talking about that, but he's also done it probably 50 other times, right?
No, I'm just trying to understand.
Yes.
He felt that this was the night to get up to the location where he went because he had an intuitive.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, but I'm also pointing out that he had had that intuitive hit many, many other times. It's like, you know, a lot of people... Huh?
Had he been right
a lot of people are.
Time?
No, this was the big sighting that he had, and it was this year on 7/7/07. And so he was up on the hillside. He had all this gear set up. He had a camera set up in his car in case it rained down at the bottom of the hill. And he had surveillance so meticulous that if any car went by, that he would have their license plate registered, documented. So he was really being meticulous. He had three different cameras that had the night, I don't know these terms, but basically they could tell if a human was in the field the entire night. There were no humans in the field, and there was a big flash of light at 3:09 or 3:13. One was documented, one was reported, and they did get the 2 nanoseconds of film of this flash in the sky, and then they have physical proof that an hour later there was indeed a brand new formation that was over 1,000 feet by 500 feet.
Which formation is that?
This is the big one in East Field.
Okay. So, but there's been some controversy about the validity of this footage?
You know, yes. And again, it reminds me of the day when the big press release happened, and all these people are scattered in the room, and we're all watching the film and all the interviews, and there's all this international press, and they're all focusing on this 2-second flash in the sky, and then this thing, the field being filled with this beautiful formation the next day. And yes, it's all documented, and you know, even if something came up later or whatever, I still pointed out at that press release, as well as here now, that was one of 10 crop circles that showed up in a week and a half in that area that were absolutely mind-boggling. So even if that was anything, you know, that they can come up with to bunk it, so what? There were so many this summer that are huge and phenomenal and masterfully crafted. There is something going on here. There's absolutely something going on. And
oh, that is a definite. We can bank that as a reality for sure.
Well, I think... I mean, the neatest thing about you and I, Patricia, meeting is that we both are like little girls that get to go play in these circles by choice. That's all it takes is saying, I'm going.
And yeah, I think one of the most exciting things about my life personally and about the times is that there's so much to access. If you have the courage and the desire and the will to step out of your own way,
yes.
The sacred sites are buzzing. So much work is being done at these locations on the planet. The whole planet is vibrating like crazy. We have the crop circle phenomenon, which is remarkable. Even if you question the validity of how these are formed, the mere being there in itself is a remarkable experience. And
yes,
I am like a child because I take myself to these experiences. I drop everything I can possibly drop to liberate myself, to taste the miracle of what's going on at this time in our lives. And it's one of the great things about being alive.
We are so blessed. And one thing I want to point out while we've got this going out to the world on the radio is that my film is in process, and it has been just gifts of people that have authentic pictures, authentic experiences. I am not fully shut down as far as more information coming to me, and I am seeking beautiful orb footage that's real, beautiful orb photos that are real. I would love to include you in the film. If you've had amazing experiences that you want to share that haven't been shared yet, because this is a film that I am planning to get out to the world community, and it is so delicious. I mean, the visuals, I have all the best photos of the last 15 years of crop circles from Janet Osenbard and Bert Janssen, who've been, I think, the top people researching for many, many years, and they're still passionate about it. You know, they're not, like, past the point where they're reading them from the Internet. They're really passionate. They're in there just eating it like food, like I did, like you did. And I think that's the excitement of what's going on now spiritually. This evolution that's upon us is such a choice for us that, you know, when you can really get into a place that is sacred like this, or Egypt, or these amazing places that you go, you know that you are stepping into something that's existing now at the same time as you could be home doing what's normal. So we know that there are many realities at the same time everywhere.
Yeah, Patty, what is your? Are you willing to give out your email address so that people can send you this stuff?
I'd love it, but no junk mail, just real footage, please. I am Right Light, RiteLight, at AOL.com. And again, that's Right Like Ritual, RiteLight, like orb, at AOL.com. And
people, will you? Yes. If people give you their footage, they will be recognized on your video.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, listen. Let's open it for questions now. Once again, the toll-free line, and this is questions for Patty or for me. The toll-free line in the States: 877-876-5227, and if you're outside of the States, 530-876-3222. So listen in, Patty. If you hear a little beep, we've got somebody in the line, and we'll cut in to answer the question. So when are we going to get this film? I can't stand waiting.
Oh, my God. I'm working 15 hours a day. I have no life. All I want to do is continue to dissect this data and move the little pieces and parts around. It's so beautiful. And the music.
Have you heard the title yet?
The title, thanks to Miss Patricia Corey.
It sounds like I'm doing a promo here.
You gave me permission. The title of the film is The Wake Up Call.
I love it. That's a great honor that you're using that. Okay, we've got a
great honor
that
we are friends.
It is indeed. All right, who's calling, please? Give me your name.
Hi. I'm calling from Tennessee. This is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
I'm curious,
Hi, Gail.
Ladies. Hi. Have you guys heard anything, or maybe you could talk a little bit about the crop circle that appeared here around Knoxville back in, I believe it was July. There's a big article about it on Earth Files with Linda Moulton Howe.
No, I have not seen or heard about that crop circle. How about you, Patty?
Mm-hmm. I have looked up all of, yes, I did look up the crop circles in America, and they indeed have some down there and some in California. But as I look at them, and I'm going to present them in the film, thank you for asking, because America does count, they're very fundamental formations with very little artistry. They're basics, but they are starter formations. I can't tell if they're real or not. I haven't taken the time to go see them in America. But if you
hold
look
on a minute. Gail, are you still on the line?
Pardon?
Are you still on with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Did you get into that circle?
I didn't hear you.
Were you able to get into that formation?
No, I heard about it and saw it after the fact. But
wow.
I heard, well, what I find interesting is that I'm sure you've heard of Major Ed Dames and his famous The Kill Shot, you know, that we're supposed to have a solar flare and all that. And he says that what his team that does the remote viewing and everything have discovered, that apparently these crop circles are latitude and longitude areas of where people will be safe during the earth changes and all the things that are to transpire here very shortly. And that's what they have been able to perceive when they go out into the future in these remote viewing sessions. And
that's very interesting.
Yeah, I found that real interesting. And
you know, my personal take on that is that you're going to be safe as long as you're in your heart.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be learning how to redefine the concept of safety anyway, because we're living in a time when we are bombarded with the concept of lack of safety and fear and danger.
Oh, I know.
And I think that as we move forward, we're going to realize that we're always where we need to be.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I agree.
I also want to
go within your heart to find that place, that safe place.
When you're in your heart. You're never in fear. You're never in danger. It's
exactly.
And that may very well be one of the messages of the crop circle.
It could be.
I also wanted to answer Gail to say that, again, the ones in America are also around old ancient Indian ruins.
That's what I was just getting ready to say, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it is. There's something sacred about the locations. There's no mistakes.
Uh-huh.
But interestingly, if you look at the actual artistry of the ones in the UK and the ones all around America for the whole year, it's kind of cute. They're like really elemental. I mean, they're really simple. And
well, you know, do me a favor, Gail. You've got my website is SyrianRevelations.net.
Okay.
If you will keep me posted of anything you'd like me to post on my site, if you get more information, I will definitely put it up on my site, keep people informed.
All righty.
Okay, thank you so much for calling in.
All right, bye-bye.
I think that the more attention that we give them in different areas, the more that they're going to show up. Because I really think that whatever is creating these circles is watching us react and watching us respond. And the more attention they get, the more they're going to give us the gifts.
And, you know, there is this ironic delight in the idea that if the ones who are making crop circles, the man-made ones, are responding to the, let's say, non-man-made ones in language they understand, sacred geometry, which is kind of a delightful irony, if you get my drift.
Oh, and you had a little drifty story that you read to me earlier this morning about some of the man-made crop circle makers. Did you want to read that real quick?
Yeah, because we had some debate in my last program about them no longer being real, quote-unquote. And so I went to the circlemakers.org website and found this very interesting article by a man named Julian Richardson, who was one of the circle makers, it claims to be. And I'm going to read it really as quickly as possible. He says, after spending many hours at my drawing board through the winter of 1991, it became apparent that given the correct equipment and an average understanding of math, humans would be perfectly capable of producing large and complex crop circle formations. Toward the end of the 1902 season, our circle-making team decided to test our refined techniques by attempting to produce what was, at the time, probably the most complicated design ever. It was while creating that formation that the following event occurred. As the sky grew darker, we slowly walked along the narrow footpath that ran alongside our intended canvas for the night. I knew we had to start early if we had any chance of completing the formation before daybreak. Once in the field, our initial job was to set up the datum line, a taut length of string that acts as a spinal cord from which the formation can grow. Blah, 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 we were all stomping about. After an hour, we three circle makers converged at the same point and began quietly discussing our progress. This is the clincher here. Suddenly, my attention was drawn to a light that had appeared from nowhere. It was a few hundred yards away and directly in front of us. As soon as I'd registered its presence, I alerted my colleagues. Amazed, we stood there gazing at this football-sized orange light as it hung motionless about 40 feet above the surrounding countryside. After an estimated 5 seconds, the light began to slowly descend. Within another 5 seconds, it had descended about 10 feet and had faded into invisibility. With little time to spare, we excitedly returned to our work, always hopeful of a repeat performance. Subsequent daylight checks revealed no evidence of the light's existence. That year also saw a large increase in the number of luminosities reported around circle sites. Get this. Did we witness a naturally occurring phenomenon, he asked, or were we really being scanned by the genuine circle makers? Now, how does that grab you? Here's a guy who claims to be making the circles, and therefore that there is no truth to the phenomenon, talking about being scanned by the, quote, genuine circle makers. So what does that tell us? The people that are making these man-made ones must believe in genuine ones, they wouldn't use that term.
You know, there's something playful about this higher dimensional. I think they're very playful, and I think they're testing us, and I think they're getting a kick out of us and watching those of us that are committing, like you and I. I mean, I feel, Paladin Jenkins said, I feel strangely watched at all times. I never really feel that, but it's funny when I think of, as I'm producing this film, I keep sitting quietly and saying to them, who's them, tell me more. I'm doing this film for you. Tell me what you want me to say.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel strangely watched, but I feel delightfully connected. And it's, I think more and more of us are starting to feel this connection that we are, of course, not alone. I mean, how foolish.
Right, right.
And really being perceiving, receiving. Many people are, I hate to use this word channeling because it's so diminishing, reducing, I can't think of the word, But
it's
channel
not
it
what
is.
A gift.
People are using their hands, their art, their there are channels like me who can hear the information, others who are drawing it, like Nick Ashron. It's just amazing. We are plugging in to a new, maybe not new, but a, let's say, a new reality that is becoming very much the global reality. In spite of the illusions and the darkness that seems to hover, this planet is awakening.
Oh, it is indeed. And, you know, the important thing is to reach out and be taking in the information. You know, it's always here. It's a matter of grasping it. Because very much like these temporary temples that are strewn through the landscapes of England, these crop circles being glorious artwork, and then, boom, here comes the farmer, and they scrape the crop down, and the whole message just goes right into the fall. You know, it's photographed, it's looked at, and then people get to read it for years. But again, it's just one more symbol of the temporary nature of we are getting the information. Are we willing
to listen? And imagine, I do love to think of Prime Creator as the great mathematician, because if you, I think I went into this last time we were on air, everything is math, from the ultimate chemistry, the atomic level, to art, to the structure of a leaf. Everything is a combination of number. Mm-hmm. And so how articulate, how perfect that the potential contact from a higher existence would be showing us through sacred geometry, the intelligent architecture of the universe.
Oh,
a language
we
can definitely understand.
Oh, yeah. And it is ornate, the sacred geometry they're using. And it's done in these landscapes of curving and swaying earth, where from the ground it'd be very hard to make a real solid circle that from the air would look like a circle, but somehow these energies that are creating the circles are being able to craft these flawless circle formations, but only visible from the sky. So I was wondering,
I can't remember which crop circle it was, but they are compensating for the swirling, the dips in the earth, and altering the form so that from the sky it's still perfect.
Yes.
Compensating for the variations in the land, which I find fascinating. It's very much like the Michelangelo's David. Have you been to Florence?
Yes, beautiful.
All right. When you look up at the statue of David, if you're looking straight on, the feet and the hands are too large for the body, and that is because he designed it to be much higher in the square, in the central square in Florence. So he compensated for the perspective of people looking at the statue from beneath it instead of looking at it directly, which it, they do now in the museum.
Hmm.
So he was probably one of them, wasn't he?
Could have been. Could have.
He
could be one of the great makers now. Yes. Well,
so how has your life been changed by this, my dear Patty?
Well, I think for me, I have found, of course, a new purpose of expression. I was a musician my entire life, since I was six, I guess. Not my entire life, but I played harp, and I was doing some pretty sacred spiritual gigs for big groups of people dressed in white, sitting silent, and I played harp for the spiritual teachers coming into America, and all of a sudden I started finding that I was playing in a lot of Band-Aids, and I wore out the ends of my fingers playing music. And I went through probably 2 years of agony dealing with my skin, blah, blah, blah. And I think it was probably the perfect change of life for me to have such an extreme physical thing happen where I had to quit doing my life entirely like I was. And when I finally went into full surrender, it was May this year, I said, that's it. I'm just going to pack up my life, and I'm going to go to Europe with no plans other than the crop circles. So I really just shut down my life, pretty much turned the key, gave my plants to a friend, and went traveling with no idea what my next chapter was going to be. And once
and
I started seeing... Oh. But again, you know, I'm thinking, gosh, you know, what am I going to do next year? Do I want to have a van or do I want to find a place over there? I mean, I can already tell that summers for me will be dancing with the orbs. I just find it like, I think it's one of the loveliest things I've experienced my whole life. And again, it's one of those things that's absolutely free. It's here for all of us. When I was leaving England, I was listening to the BBC. They had this charming man on, and he was a cloud watcher, absolutely free. Every day, day after day, he's just delighted and entranced by the messages of the clouds. He reads them. He sees stories in them. And, I mean, how cute is that? And
yeah,
what is it? It's free.
We're going to also be talking about seeing other things besides just the beautiful illusions and imaginings of clouds when we start talking about some of the sightings and things that are going down in Mexico and Peru, these multi-craft sightings. That's going to be coming up soon. Mm. I have to wrap this up, Patty, because believe it or not, we're just coming to the end of our hour. I would like to say that, again, my website is SyrianRevelations.net. And I am doing sacred journeys all over the planet, so please check in if you're interested next year. I will be bringing a group. I'm sure we'll have Patty with us. We'll have a guest in Glastonbury. In fact, I will also have with us my very dear friend Jonathan Quinton, who is the creator of Sacred Art Videos, and we're going to be doing some work together, which will be very thrilling for those of you who are listening and have seen my presentation with Jonathan's work. So...
It is a great honor. I love
Pardon?
You. You're just doing the greatest work on the planet, and I am deeply honored to be your new friend and to enjoy this journey
with you.
Thank you,
Patty. That is shared. Thank you for being here and for all you're doing. It's just too good to be true, but it is.
All right, listen,
I'm going to give you a big hug, and we're going to sign out. Thank you all. I know more and more of you are listening in. It's wonderful, and I know it's Labor Day weekend in the States. So have a good holiday. Don't drive while you're drinking. And be with us next week on Beyond the Matrix. Don't know who's going to be the guest. Might just have some extra dimensional beings sharing the platform. So don't miss it. That'll be 12 noon again on Sunday, Beyond the Matrix with me.
Enjoy the magic.
Love you all. Thank you for being with us. And we will talk to you next week. Ciao, Patti.
Ciao, Patti.
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bella.
Good night. Thank you for listening.